The People's Show, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Jain. Let's bring in our next guest, Mark Spector. What's going on, Spec? How you doing?
Good, gentlemen. What's happening in Vancouver?
The rain has started, so that must mean hockey season's just around the corner.
Oh, it's raining already, eh? Okay, well, that's okay. It should stop sometime in about March.
Yeah, we had a good run. We had a good run.
It didn't rain for like 3 months here in the summer, so now we're paying for it.
I know. Awesome. Hockey season, though, that's good news.
Yeah, it's all coming back around. Your latest coming out on Sportsnet, Ken Holland believing the time for the Oilers to become contenders is now. And I think, this Oilers team, really interesting offseason, Spec, because I like what they've done with the forward group. I got some questions with how the back end is going to look and certainly what they're going to look like in goal.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say overall their skaters are better. Overall the skaters are better. Their goaltending is the same, and no one's telling themselves, including Ken Holland, who's been on the goalie market for 2 years. No one's telling themselves that Mike Smith and Nico Koskinen are a tandem that's going to win you Stanley Cup. There's no getting around that. 82 games might be too much for them, considering the number one guy is 39 years old. So they're sort of one injury away in my mind from parting with a first round pick or a good prospect for a legit, a guy that can play with Smith. Smith's a really, Smith can back up on any team in the league. He's still like his numbers last year. He's a top five goalie in the league last year. I know it was it's an outlier. So he can be my backup, but when you go into the season and he's your starter, that's stretching it a little thin, I'd say.
On the back end, I find it really interesting looking at that team because losing Adam Larson is big, right? But at the same time, yeah, a few additions. You get Duncan Keith coming in, and they pay Cody Ceci. How much confidence should there be in Dave Tippett being able to get the best out of that new-look defense?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, there's a huge debate about Duncan Keith. His numbers were lousy in Chicago, but he was also playing first-pairing minutes with a whole bunch of different rookie defensemen in front of awful goaltending for a team that gave up maybe the most chances in the National Hockey League as a group. So what do those numbers look like when you come to a much better team, right? When you're playing second-pairing minutes, when hopefully, for the Oilers' sake, they have better goaltending, more veteran goaltending that's consistent behind them. So there's this raging debate over what Duncan Keith has left. And the numbers people will tell you that he's got nothing left, and the numbers show it. And the hockey, a lot of other people, including myself, will say, well, hang on. That situation in Chicago wasn't very good last year. And he was playing number one minutes. He's probably too old for that. So, let's see what happens with Duncan Keith. Cody Ceci, everyone looks at him through the blue and white lens, folks. Like, he had a lousy season in Toronto or a poor tenure in Toronto. And so a lot of the hockey world goes, well, he can't play because he couldn't play in Toronto. You know how that works. But he went to Pittsburgh and was pretty good, right? People in Pittsburgh tell you he was a good defenseman there. So your second pairing of Duncan Keith and Cody Ceci is, I'm not saying people aren't going to have some question marks. They are. But, those question marks could well be answered. That could be a decent second pairing. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be a failure. And on your top pair, you got Darnell Nurse, who's emerged as a top pairing defenseman. I think everyone would agree. And the leading scorer among defensemen in the National Hockey League, Tyson Barrie. So, I'm not saying he's a great, great, great player, but only one guy led the league in points last year in the blue line, and the Oilers just signed into, I think, a 3-year deal. So, I'm not saying the defense is world beaters, but I've seen worse.
Yeah, you mentioned guys that couldn't really, didn't have great seasons in Toronto. Tyson Barrie was one of them. He comes to Edmonton and played pretty well from the offensive side of things. They're going to need some young guys to step up as well. You've got, some good young forwards, but defense as well. Evan Bouchard, what's the expectation for him this year?
Well, this is the rare Oilers prospect that's been long seasoned before he jumps in. Here in Edmonton, when you're a first-round pick, you've usually played 100 games by now, right? Starting as an 18 or 19-year-old. So Evan Bouchard played out his junior career. He went to Bakersfield. He played there. He spent the year with the team last year and really barely played. How good is he going to be? Well, we're going to find out. Is he ready to take the step to the NHL? Yes, absolutely he's ready. He's He's paid his dues, right? He's played his minor league time. So I think there's a good player there. I can tell you this. He walks in the door with probably the best slap shot on the team. Like, he can boom a puck from the point. And if he can hold his own defensively, he's, you know, he'll push Cody Ceci for second pairing minutes. And if that rocket gets going and he gets some confidence, he might even find himself in the power play a little bit.
Mark Spector, our guest here on the People Show. What does this year mean for Ken Holland?
Well, I'll tell you what. He came in the door taking over Peter Chiarelli's thing, you know, with a bit of a summer and no cap room. So the first year is always a survival for that general manager, no matter what his name is, right? He survived his first year. He put, you know, the Oilers made the playoffs. Then that was the year, his first year ended on March 20th or whatever. With COVID, 4 months later, they played Chicago and got beat. He had no cap room last year, put together the 11th best team in the National Hockey League. They were right around the top of the Canadian division pretty much all year. Disaster in the playoffs, lose four straight to Winnipeg, right? So this year he had some cap room, right? And he had a chance to actually do some things and make a team sort of in his own image. So he goes out and he gets Zach Hyman. And he goes and finds a centerman they need to take some face-off pressure off his big guys. He gets Derek Ryan. And he loses Larson, and he has to go find CC, and he signs Tyson Berry, which is a, you know, a lot of people thought they wouldn't sign him. He needs a little size. He's got too many defensemen. He trades Ethan Bear out of here, and he gets Warren Fogle out of Carolina. So I guess what I'm trying to say, guys, is finally this is his team. You know, he's replaced names in this dressing room of fringe NHLers like Joaquin Nygaard and Gaetan Haas and, you know, guys like that. And he's brought in guys like Zach Hyman and Warren Fogle and Derek Ryan, who are, you know, full-on 100% legit NHL players. He's brought in Duncan Keith, you know, who's played in every big game there is to play in. So I would say this to you guys, this is no longer, other than 1 year left of Mikko Koskinen at $4.5 million, this is no longer any Pete Chiarelli on this team. This is Ken Holland's team now. And I think they're ready to, he thinks they're ready to not just be a good regular season team, but to maybe, you know, have a little juice in the playoffs for the first time in a while.
How much success do you think they have to have here, Spec, these next couple of years, so Connor McDavid doesn't get antsy?
Well, it's time now to have playoff success. That's it. And Connor McDavid said it today. I got a piece up on sportsnet.ca. He basically agreed with his GM. He said, Ken Holland did a great job. He gave us a bunch of good players, and now it's up to the players and the coaching staff to get this thing happening here. So, yeah, it has to go now. Like, you know, they're the second place team in the Pacific for 2 years running, and I'm not saying that's what you play for or anything, but that's not bad, right? That's, you know, they're right on Vegas's heels the 1 year, right on Toronto's heels the other. But they didn't have any playoff success. They've checked the box of we've gone to the playoffs and blown it twice, and we're supposed to have learned from that. And that's where they sit. So the next, you know, the obvious next step, folks, is they got to go, you know, they will finish, in my opinion, anyway, I would predict them to be in the top two in the Pacific. They're going to play a Calgary or a Vancouver or a Seattle or someone in the first round, and they better win that series. They better damn well win that series or it'll be an abject failure. And then they're going to play someone for the Pacific Division championship if they win round one, and it's round two, and you know what, it's time for this team to get something done at that time of year. So I would say they better start winning playoff series, because, you know, it's time here. It's time.
What's an encore season look like for McDavid after what he did in the shortened calendar last year?
Yeah, I don't know, eh? I mean, he had over 100 points in 56 games.
Yeah.
What'd he end up with? I can't even remember.
I think it was 107, something like that. Yeah. It was like 150 point pace.
So there you go. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're shooting for 150.
Well, like, it's, you know, like the thing with McDavid, not that like he disappeared in the postseason series against Winnipeg, but, you know, the whistles went away. He didn't draw one penalty in that series. That's maybe more on the refs than it is anything else. But, you know, it's just, he's got to be the one that leads them through that first round, much like it is for, you know, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and how much flack they've taken in Toronto.
No, it's fair to put those expectations on him and Leon Draisaitl, right? No one scored more points the last 3 years than those two guys. So that is fair. There's a couple things here. They need a better supporting cast. They need to win some games that 29 and 97 don't win for them, right? It would happen in the playoffs. Winnipeg just absolutely keyed everything on 97 and 29 and said, let's let the rest of the team try to beat us. And they couldn't. Now, you know, here's McDavid's played eight. Is it eight playoff games and never drawn a penalty? I watched all eight of those games. That's not on McDavid, right?
Yeah.
McDavid's still a good player in the playoffs. This isn't me being a McDavid fan. I'm just here to tell you, he's still the best player on the ice in the playoffs. He's still getting hauled down like crazy in the playoffs. In fact, more. And, you know, this isn't a soapbox I like being on because I live and work in Edmonton and I pride myself being objective and not sort of favoring the Oilers or any of that stuff. But when Connor McDavid plays eight playoff games and doesn't draw a penalty, we got to sit Stephen Walkham down in a chair and shine a bright light and say, what the hell's happening here, right? You know, I mean, seriously, he doesn't draw up. The defense of the other two teams and, you know, their whole five-man unit absolutely keys and holds and hooks and punches and impedes and interferes, right? And he doesn't draw a single penalty? So, no, that's... You guys, that's not on McDavid. That's something that the NHL, and it's not just McDavid. You know, when Pettersson gets the playoffs, and they're going to treat him the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see Pettersson in the playoffs. I want to see him with some, be able to be Elias Pettersson, and I want to see McDavid be Connor McDavid, and it goes away in the playoffs. And that's, we're in a separate conversation now, but that's not on a player, not for me.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Mark Spector of Sportsnet. Spec, you mentioned the Canucks there. Every time we have you on before the season begins, we want your take on the Canucks. A summer of aggression from Jim Benning. Where does this team stack up in the Pacific?
Well, the Pacific's wide open, and I think he's wise to have, you know, they're not just sitting back waiting on a bunch of draft picks here. They've, you know, I think Jim Benning has put them certainly in a position in Vancouver to grab one of the third or fourth playoff spots in this division that is completely up for grabs. Like, if I'm Vancouver, I'm looking at those three California teams, and I should be better than all three of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I just got to beat this expansion team, and I'm in the playoffs. You know, so I think that this, you know, some people might say that, well, I wouldn't say anyone in Vancouver saying that Jim Benning's acting, you know, he's been too slow in the gun or that he's too patient, but this is a time for the Canucks to say, okay, that just as the Oilers need to take a step and win in the playoffs, it's the time for the Canucks to take a step and make the playoffs, and the road has never been more well-paved here. Look at the Pacific. You know, it's, to me, it's likely the lightest division in the league, and, you know, Calgary isn't that good a team in my esteem. I think Vancouver could be better, and if they're better than Calgary and Seattle, guess what? They're probably the third-place team in the Pacific, so I think they could get there if Demko plays, you know, and the notable names, of which there are several, if they put some seasons together in Vancouver, that could be a third-place team in the Pacific. Why not?
Which Canadian team do you think is under the most pressure in that division this year? Is it Calgary without a doubt, or do you see it maybe being Vancouver with all the moves they made?
Well, define team under pressure. Is the GM that's under pressure? The coach that's under pressure? You know?
I'd say, I look at Calgary, for instance. I think, you know, the GM should be under pressure. And they brought Daryl Sutter back in, but that's a team that hasn't really taken a step forward. So I think organizationally, direction-wise, that's a team that's probably looking probably the hardest at a disappointment this season if something goes awry.
Well, it could be. I mean, for instance, you know, everyone faces their own pressure. I don't need to tell people in Vancouver how much pressure Benning's under, right? There's a ton of pressure in Vancouver. They've been out of the playoffs for a while here. And, you know, it's time to get something happening here. Listen, we just talked about Ken Holland. Okay, so a couple of years, no cap space, taking over another guy's team. Well, that's all over. It's time to win. You got the best two, you know, two of the best forwards in the league, certainly the best player in the world. It's time to win here in Edmonton, some playoffs. It's time to be a cup contender, not just a division contender. And in Calgary, they're behind on a lot of fronts. They needed to make some change after last year. It wasn't a very good team. And they really didn't make some change. Probably the best player they brought in was Blake Coleman. And in my opinion, you know, I think it's proven on a really good team in Tampa, Coleman's a third line player. So maybe he's a second line guy in Calgary, but this, bringing in a second line guy isn't the kind of turnover Calgary needed. I see them bringing in guys like Goodbranson, and you know, the guys that were down in LA with Daryl Sutter. And what I see here is they're bringing in a bunch of Sutter type players. And you know, this is a GM bringing in players, I think, that suit his coach. But if it goes sour in Calgary, it's not the coach that's getting fired here. It's a GM. So I don't love Calgary's lineup, and I don't love the whole going back to the, you know, Sutter way in 2022. I know this wouldn't fly well with Vancouver fans if they were doing something like this. I don't think it's very progressive. I don't think it's. I think they're behind the times, and I don't love their team, frankly. So in the end, if heads are rolling somewhere and you're asking me to pick a place, I probably would look at Calgary at some point this year, yes.
Speck, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk, I guess, during hockey season.
All right, you got my number.